The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Dear congregation, we read in John 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And there those eyewitnesses beheld the glory of the Son, the glory of Christ, who is the Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father. And oh, what glory was seen then. But oh, what glory shines today in heaven above. What a sight there is in glory. But then further, through the gospel of Jesus Christ here upon earth, what glory shines. And then we can consider one more thing. When there are days of deliverance of the people of God, the glory of the Lord is revealed. Now, following on from the 39th chapter, wherein was that prophecy concerning the Babylonian captivity, there comes now in this chapter a word of comfort. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What a word of comfort. A comfort that comes from the Lord to the people of God, and it brings that peace within. And through these words, as we considered this morning, there is the restoring of comforts. And what a blessing that is. To know that there is forgiveness, as we shall consider tonight. To know that all will be well through Jesus Christ. Well, there is that word of comfort. But then following on from verse 3, we are presented with the preaching of John the Baptist. That's made plain in Matthew 3, verses 1 through to verse 6. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. We remember John, as we shall note in a moment, went before the Lord and prepared a way and called on people to get ready for the coming of the Lord. And then we come to our text, particularly this morning, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. A word of further comfort for the people there. There would be deliverance. And what glory was revealed and known when God delivered his people out of Babylon. But we particularly consider the coming of Christ and the gospel he preached here upon earth. That was the glory that was so known here upon earth. And so we read in John 1 verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glorious of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They beheld it, and we have beheld it in the gospel. And we, dear brethren, one day will behold it in glory. Well, let's come now directly to these words. I'd like us to consider, first of all, the faithful servant of the Lord, particularly John the Baptist. Secondly, the glory of the Lord in verse 5. And then thirdly, the mouth of the Lord. And as we think of this, we read in verse 5, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It's sure. It is an aid therefore to our assurance and a comfort in these days. The mouth of the Lord. The faithful servant of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and the mouth of the Lord. Well, let's consider first of all then the faithful servant of the Lord. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now we are presented with the preaching of John the Baptist. Now he was a harbinger of the Lord Jesus Christ. A harbinger. What is a harbinger, young people and children here this morning? Well, a harbinger is a person that announces or signals the approach of another. A forerunner. One who goes before. Matthew Paul wrote, as harbingers of great princes are sent before them to call persons to remove things out of the way which may hinder their free passage. One will go before, maybe a great prince, a monarch, and they will call on the people, get ready, remove certain things so that the prince can come. You think when a queen makes a visit, certain ones go on before and make preparations and call upon others to do likewise. Let's use another illustration. Maybe a child knows someone special is coming, and they're soon to come down the path. In these days, maybe a text has been sent to them. Someone is coming, and they come in, they'll soon be here. It may be granddad or granny are soon coming. Soon be dinner time, and the child goes on before and tells the parents they're on their way. Get ready. A forerunner. A harbinger. Well, John the Baptist was a harbinger. He was the Lord's messenger, as we see in Malachi 3 and verse 1. And as we think again of the messenger, at the root of the Hebrew word malchok, it means to dispatch. Think of this illustration. In times of war, there was communication between the general and those under him. Well, the general views the situation and he sends a dispatcher, a messenger. Well, our blessed Lord viewed the situation. The time was nearly come and he sent his messenger, John the Baptist, to prepare the way. What a gracious viewing of the situation. That our Lord viewed the situation and he sent his messenger. And he reminds us in times of revival. The Lord, prior to revival rather, the Lord views the situation and he raises up servants to prepare the way that the Lord will come in revival and his glory is known. So we think then of John the Baptist. He was a messenger sent before as a harbinger. We'll just note these words again in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John was sent and he brought a message to the people. And a way would be made for the Lord. Here's the Lord's faithful servant making a way. Well, at this point, just briefly note what he cried in verse 3 and verse 4. And as we do so, let's consider John went before preaching. John went before preaching, first of all. He preached repentance, pointing sinners to Christ. He opened up the scriptures and answered objections and wrong notions. John Brown of Haddington is helpful here, speaking of the John the Baptist, calling them to prepare for the Messiah and to remove every hindrance of receiving. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, a way would be made. So firstly, John went preaching. He cried. He pointed sinners to Christ. He preached repentance. Consider secondly, whilst John was preaching, a way would be prepared by God's favour and the work of the Holy Spirit. While John was preaching, a way would be prepared by God's favour and the work of the Holy Spirit. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Here's John, he's preaching. And a work of grace will be done, and a way will be prepared further by the Holy Spirit. Now we must consider there were some proud men amongst the Jews. who were humbled like the Pharisee in the temple who had come boasting of himself, Luke 18 verse 14. They were humbled, but they were not saved. Mountains were humbled, but there were those who were not saved. However, there were other mountains who were humbled by grace. They were convicted. They were broken in their hearts and effectual calling. Yes, we can consider some proud men. They were humbled like some of the Pharisees, but they weren't saved. But others, under the preaching of John the Baptist, God's faithful servant, were humbled by grace, broken within. Mountains brought low. Consider now the valleys. What do we read? Every valley shall be exalted. And this took place whilst John was preaching and in subsequent days. Just consider when a railway is being built. Certain low areas need to be filled so that the tracks can be laid and in time the train can pass. Little areas need to be filled up. Think of the valleys. Those that have been humbled, broken in effectual calling, like the publican who cannot look up, are lifted by grace and caused to focus on Christ. Just used by illustration, that publican in the temple, he couldn't look up. But he was being lifted and he cries, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's not an easy time when one is broken in their hearts in conviction. They feel sin. They've been humbled. But then by grace they're caused to look unto Jesus. Every valley shall be exalted. The Lord is working through his Spirit. The suitableness of Christ is being shown. Their eyes are being lifted to see Christ. And they look unto him. By grace they are lifted, caused to look, and they receive Christ. When a work takes place, a work of grace, it lifts the poor sinner to look unto Jesus. And by faith one receives Christ and his righteousness. The way is prepared through the Spirit, and Christ is known. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Dear brethren, be thankful that a way was prepared for Christ. You were humbled by grace, but then through the Spirit you were lifted to consider Christ, and Christ came to the door of your soul, and through grace he entered in. It's all of grace. The way was prepared for the King to come to your soul. Obstacles were removed. The obstacles of pride and ignorance were removed. We were levelled, as Matthew Henry puts it, by divine grace. Thinking of John the Baptist, God's faithful servant, who preached, and what a work was done as he preached in the hearts of some, and what a work has been done since in the hearts of millions. Many have been levelled by divine grace. Thirdly, after John had preached, there was actual repentance and faith in the lives of some, and Jesus was known. A way was made for Jesus. There were those repenting of their sins and looking unto Jesus. The way was made. What a blessing, dear brethren. The goodness of the Lord led us to repentance. And we looked unto Jesus. And since then, Jesus has lived in our hearts. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Let me ask you, has the obstacles been removed? Has Christ come to your very heart? Now let's return and consider John, the faithful servant. There he was preaching. He preached repentance. He preached Christ. He answered false objections. Rather, objections and false notions. They were obstacles. He answered it. He made a way. He was a faithful servant. He was a messenger. But the Lord has his faithful servants today. Those whom he has appointed to go before preaching the gospel. He has those who are sent on an errand. Ministers are referred to as messengers. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or of our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. The messengers of the churches. Sent, as we see in Romans 10 verse 15, to preach the gospel and to bring the word, including that word of comfort, to the people. Messengers. Messengers of the churches. Faithful servants. Preaching the whole counsel of God. You know, there's many in pulpits, isn't there? They just preach a few things. Faithful servants will preach the whole counsel of God. They will, like John the Baptist, warn concerning the wrath of God. They will preach on hell. You can test a man if he is faithful, if he will preach on these things. Because he's faithful to his Lord, and he is faithful in love to sinners, that he will show and warn, and then he will point them to Christ. Faithful servant. Messengers. Those who will preach plainly the gospel. Those who will point to Christ. What do we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23? But we preach Christ crucified. Remember John the Baptist. When he looked upon Jesus as he walked, we're told in John 1 verse 36, behold the Lamb of God. You know, there's so many, they just point to the world. Point to self. Point to entertainment. The faithful servant will say, behold the Lamb of God. God's faithful servant. However, before we move on, let's remember we are all servants, dear brethren, of the Master. The Lord makes that plain in Romans 6 verse 22. We have become servants to God. We used to serve someone else. But by divine grace our hearts were humbled, and now we are servants of the living God. And we have the privilege, dear brethren, to point sinners to Christ. It's not easy to do it at times, is it? This is a difficult age, isn't it? We see so much hypocrisy. We see so much emptiness. Many mock the gospel. It's not easy. But it is our privilege to go before making known Christ. Remember that woman of Samaria? Her heart was touched. She just leaves her water pot and she goes, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not this the Christ? She went to the men of the city and she made Christ known. Oh, to have my heart touched more often. Dear brethren, oh, for our hearts to be moved, to be strangely warmed, that we go and make known Christ to others. The faithful servant. Secondly, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The faithful servant John, he went before, and then the glory of the Lord was revealed. And we have this word glory. At the root it speaks of weight. It's something weighty. It's not light or shallow. It's weighty. And dear brethren, when we think of God, oh, do not we think of something so dear and precious. Give him the glory. Let it be such a weight, as it were. Something that we so take hold of and give to him, that we so value. We can also think of the word splendor, honor. We're led on to consider his excellency, his majesty. The glory of the Lord is something weighty to be given. It's so wonderful that we're thinking of him, his excellency, and his majesty. The glory of the Lord. What glory was manifested in the deliverance of the people from Babylon, the captivity. But we particularly consider the glory of the Lord being revealed in the coming of Christ, who is God's salvation. Luke 2 verse 30 and Luke 3 verse 6. God's salvation. God sent salvation, deliverance to the people, and they were brought back from captivity. But oh, what salvation was revealed through Jesus Christ. We turn again to those words, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And just summarizing those words, glory shines from the Word. Glory shines from the Word. We're thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. Glory shines from the Word. And that's amazing, isn't it? Because when he came, his humiliation commenced. It's very interesting, that, isn't it? When he came, his humiliation commenced. Philippians 2 verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. His humiliation began in his conception and birth. He humbled himself. Christ's humiliation in general was his condescension. Oh, what condescension it was. To have that glory which he had with the Father veiled for a time by coming to this world to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was the veiling. Yet we meet here, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What a veiling it was. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. However, there was glimpses of his glory breaking forth. Though there was a veiling, a general veiling, there were glimpses of his glory breaking forth. Just think of a few. There was the holiness of Christ. How amazing. They knew that he was perfect, those disciples. How amazing. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet there was the glimpse of his glory seen in the holiness of him. We see that in Luke 1 verse 35. The glory of the Lord. One perfect, spotless, stood before. Then consider, secondly, there were the miracles. The glory of the Lord was revealed in these. How he fed the 5,000. How he healed those that were laid down. And then consider, thirdly, his wonderful and heavenly teaching. Never man spake like this man, those officers said, who had come to take him. His wonderful and heavenly teaching. Yes, there were many who would have nothing to do with Christ. But there were those who were struck, like the woman of Samaria. Her heart was touched, and she had to go forth. Why am I not more struck with the ministry of Christ, that I go and tell poor sinners of him? But to consider his glory was revealed, his wonderful and heavenly teaching. And the psalmist spoke of it in Psalm 45. Grace is poured into thy lips. The glory of the Lord was revealed. But then consider fourthly, leading on from our third point, his powerful and effectual ministry. He spake to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew followed. Dear brethren, we've spent hours with some people, haven't we? Telling them the gospel. Just two words to Matthew. As it were, just a word to Matthew. Changed his life. And dear brethren, it reminds us that the glory of the Lord was revealed to us. Just a word from the Saviour.
turned our lives around.
His effectual ministry. How he spake.
There was something to behold. Mary and Joseph knew it. They knew there was something special. That's one of the reasons why Mary pondered in her heart. She was so taken with Christ. You think of a mother holding her child. She's taken with the child. Mary was even more taken with Christ. She beheld the glory of the Lord.
The shepherds were taken. So was Simeon and Anna. So was John. John here preparing the way, and then the glory of the Lord was so revealed. He came preaching the gospel, and he came and he was busy in his work with his earthly ministry. Christ, who had been born, came on the scene, particularly after John, and his glory was revealed. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They beheld his splendor, his excellency, his majesty. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And what do we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 2? And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. No beauty that we should desire him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But the glory of the Lord was revealed, and they beheld his glory. They beheld him as a man of sorrows, but they beheld the glory of the Lord. There was no beauty that we should desire him, yet they beheld his majesty, his splendor. Now Christ is the Word. The Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. Just pause and reflect upon the Word. Now a Word is begotten in our thoughts. John Brown writes, words are of our thoughts. And so Jesus, the Son of God, is the express image of the Father. The express image. A Word is begotten in our thoughts. What do we read here? The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the express image of the Father. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his Father. That's one reason he's called the Word. Then further consider, dear brethren, he spake for us before the world was made. What a wonderful Redeemer. He represented us. And he spake for us before the world was made. And then further, he is the Word. He spake to our hearts in effectual calling. Well, glory, as we see in John 1 verse 14, shines from the Word. Glory shines from the Word. Verse 5 here. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. They beheld his glory. Just think of Simeon. He held the Lord in his arms, and he was so taken up in glorifying God. Now consider further, through the preaching of the gospel today, the glory of the Lord is revealed. Consider the gospel is to be preached to all nations. Just note these words here. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Now some saw it when our Lord came on the scene. Particularly in his earthly ministry. But we read there, and all flesh shall see it together. So we're thinking further of the glory of Christ shining in the gospel. All flesh shall see it together. Just turn with me, it's very helpful. Turn to Luke 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places placed. Rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We're thinking of the glory of the Lord. We read in Luke 3 verse 6, the salvation of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord shining in the gospel. Psalm 98 verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. So yes, in this verse we're thinking of the coming of the Lord.
And the glory of the Lord that was revealed as he walked here upon earth and as he preached the gospel. But further, to the end of the world, all flesh shall see the salvation of God
through the preaching of the gospel, which the Lord uses instrumentally. There are those who behold the glory of the Lord and rejoice in it. Oh, let the glory of the Lord be revealed in this forest more and more. And as the glory of the Lord is revealed, that there will be a work of grace, that sinners would be leveled by grace, and that they with eyes of faith for themselves would behold the glory of the Lord. You know, some entertaining church. What do we want, dear brethren? The glory of the Lord. Aware is Emmanuel. So many just entertain. Dear brethren, John the Baptist didn't entertain. He prepared the way, and then the glory of the Lord was revealed. Oh, that men would preach the gospel, and that the glory of the Lord would be revealed to poor sinners. Let me ask you, have you seen the glory of the Lord? Have your eyes been enlightened? You know, we often see children with just a sparkle in their eye. They're so pleased. They see something. They're given something, maybe a present, maybe a little treasure, and their eyes light up. You know what it's like? It's lovely to see children just with their eyes lit up. Have your eyes been lit up looking unto Jesus? Remember Simeon, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The glory of the Lord was revealed in the gospel to him before he saw the Lord, but then he rejoiced again. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We, dear brethren, we've been given a glimpse. But also no more glimpses, dear beloved. Do not we pray with what of old? Moses, show me thy glory. Show me more of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in union with him. Show me more of him. Show me thy glory. But in one more thing. Oh, for such a day when the glory of the Lord is known in the church and in this land. Psalm 85, verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Think of the deliverance that came to the people of God when they were brought back from captivity. The glory of the Lord was known. Oh, that there would be a day when the Lord would turn our captivity. That the glory of the Lord will be known in the church again. Reading a book this morning by Joe Beakey on assurance of faith. And one of the problems why churches, or rather individual believers, lack assurance is this, because the world has come into the church. Or that Christ will come into the church. And that will help so many believers who lack assurance. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. There's a promise. Glory will dwell in our land. And we look to a day when the glory of the Lord will be revealed in the church in this nation. Dear brethren, keep near to the Lord. Have such an awe of him. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Yes, we have this godly fear in our hearts. All to have a greater fear of God. That our eyes will be so focused that we will be in expectation of seeing the glory of the Lord here upon earth in the church. Dear brethren, we've been given eyes to see. Exercise faith. Look unto Jesus. You'll be given further glimpses of the glory of the Lord. Oh, for a little bigger glimpse of the glory of the Lord. Here upon earth in the church. The glory of the Lord. And then thirdly, as we close this morning, the mouth
of the Lord.
The faithful servant of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and then thirdly the mouth of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Here it's made plain, it will be so, because the Lord has spoken. It's sure, and it's certain. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Firstly, God cannot lie. Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Therefore the glory of the Lord was revealed. He cannot lie, and it is being revealed. And you will have further glimpses of the glory of the Lord, because God has said, and God's word is true. Secondly, if we think in context of the glory of the Lord being revealed because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Secondly, he is all powerful. Hindrances and obstacles are removed. What do we read in Matthew 19 verse 26? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. So the glory of the Lord was revealed here upon earth. And the glory of the Lord is being revealed to sinners today. Hardened sinners. Remember those disciples, who then can be saved? God is able to make the glory of Christ known to poor sinners. And dear brethren, take comfort. Do you find times when you struggle in prayer? You struggle in thinking on Jesus. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. He is able again to give you a glimpse of the glory of Christ. As we fought last Lord's Day evening, here's the church saying to Christ, our bed is saying to Christ, our bed is green, I want more of thee. Yet we know coldness at times. The Lord will fulfill our desire. He will give us further glimpses of Christ and intimacy with him. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Lord has spoken. He is all powerful. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Thirdly, his covenant will not be broken. And so the glory of the Lord was revealed and continues to be revealed. Remember, dear brethren, it is his everlasting covenant. And so you are going to see again and again glimpses of the glory of the Lord here upon earth until you see his glory in heaven. The mouth of the Lord have spoken it. It's sure his covenant will not be broken. Fourthly, his spirit will work within on the hearts of men. Fifthly, his gospel will be preached. Sixthly, Christ will visit poor sinners. Seventhly, his gift of faith will be given, and men shall see the glory of the Lord. The Lord has said, his word will stand. He will see to it. Matthew Henry wrote, therefore the hand of the Lord will effect it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken, therefore the hand of the Lord will effect it. Do not listen to men who scoff, or the devil who whispers, or those doubts that can suddenly just come to your mind. You know it's like, dear brethren, at times they just appear, don't they? Don't listen to them. Listen to the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. He has spoken. It's his word. It's sure. Believe it, rest in it, and trust his word. We know the glory of the Lord was revealed. Believe it will be revealed again. When you know those times when you're struggling, look to the word of God. When Satan comes and he whispers, respond like Christ did with the word of God. It is written. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. You're going to see glimpses again of the glory of the Lord. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Remember Mary, she sat at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. That's where we need to get to more often. And we need to be there in submission. We need to be there exercising faith. We need to be there with ears open to hear. I will hear what the Lord will speak, as the psalmist says. That's where we need to be. Because his word is true. We need to rest in the word. Dear brethren, take comfort in the word. Take, for example, the promises of the word. Believe them and take comfort in them. Remember again what we heard on Wednesday evening. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We do get dismayed at times. We do get a little fearful. But fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord speaks to comfort our souls. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Believe it, dear brethren. We do believe, don't we? Just believe it, brethren. Doubts do arise. We struggle at times, but just rest in the word of the Lord. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken. Dear brethren, we can leave this building this morning because God has spoken. Dear brethren, we can face tomorrow because God has spoken. We can face every valley because God has spoken. Though the valleys may be difficult to pass through, we can face death because God has spoken. And you will see the glory of the Lord because the Lord has spoken. Here's a chapter of comfort. What comforts we find in the word. How the Lord speaks. You know, I was so impressed with that this morning. In the singing of psalms. It's the Lord's hymn book. And we sing to him. But in his grace and condescension. He in such a mercy. Speaks whilst we're singing. The mouth of the Lord. Have spoken. The glory of the Lord. Shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it. Christ came. The glory of the Lord. Was revealed. It's been revealed to you, dear brethren. It will be revealed to other poor sinners. And it will be revealed to you again and again. On your way to glory, the sun is going to break through the clouds. And you're going to have glimpses of the glory of God. And a glimpse may come when it's so dark. And it's in the depths of winter for your soul. But then the glimpse will come. What a prospect. Glimpses of Jesus on our way to glory. You may say, will it be? The mouth of the Lord have spoken it. Dear brethren, cling to this book. And cling to God. And God allows you to cling to him. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Let us pray.